Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're looking at verses 5 and 6. And if you found that, let's all stand together as we read God's Word together. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And let's bow our heads once again for prayer. Father, speak to our hearts from your word. Give us the truth, dear Lord, that could help us as your children. Lord, we want to be used of you, and we would not want any obstacle to come into the way of being used and stand in the way of being used of you. And Lord, what we discuss tonight could certainly stand in the way. But I pray, dear Father, that we will simply take the admonition of your word and its clear instruction, apply it to our life and be forever blessed and helped by it. Be with these good people, dear Father. They've assembled together on a midweek service, first of all, because they love you. And they want their life to count for you. But Father, we're out in a world that wants to beat us down. I pray that you'll strengthen them, encourage them, help them. As believers, dear Father, to be strong in the faith and the power of the Lord. And I pray this now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday, I read these same verses. We were talking about proofs of the resurrection. And part of the proofs of the resurrection was the transformed lives of the disciples. And we went from being self-centered to being very, very humble. You recall that I mentioned in Luke two different passages where they discussed among themselves who would be the greatest. And then in the later passage around chapter 19 of Luke, it says, and there arose a strife among them about who should be the greatest. So what at first was a discussion became an argument. And they were trying to determine who was the greatest. But then after they met the resurrected Christ, their life was forever changed. And then we saw in the life of James how he mentions humility in the book of James, two different passages. In two different chapters, he tells us to be humble in the eyes of the Lord. And then Peter, who no doubt had to be one of those disciples in that same heated argument about who was the greatest, because he's in the inner circle. But here in this passage of Scripture, he says, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, that great transformation from being self-centered to being very humble servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so only Jesus, only the resurrected Savior could do that and make that difference in the life of the disciples. Well, having said that, last Sunday evening after the service, we had a meeting. I met with the deacons for a while, and we were discussing the upcoming meeting we want to have this next Wednesday. We'll have a brief business meeting and going over the finances and the budgets and tell them how things are going in the financing and with the projected to refinance with different banks. And by the way, it's all good news, so praise the Lord for that. But just I want to make sure they understand everything and are in on everything. And we had a great day. You know, if you stop and reflect like I do, after Sunday morning, after Sunday night, you go home, you think, what a great day. I mean, just what a great day. What a great week. You know, we had Dr. Jack Treiber preaching Monday night and Tuesday night, and then we had Brother Tom Lamont preaching on Wednesday night, and then Wednesday afternoon, the teens went out and saw so many saved last Wednesday, and then on Thursday, and then, you know, it's just one thing after another. It's just great. It was just great. It was just great. It was just great. What a great day. A lot of great crowds Sunday morning. people baptized, people saved, people joined. You know, it's just amazing, decisions being made for the cause of Christ. So exciting. Well, one of our dear deacons, Al Malsbury, who's been with us since the very first Sunday, so is the Balcombs, and he was saying, well, Pastor, you've done such a great job. And I said, no. I said, no, Al. The Lord's done a great job. He said, I know, but God's used you. I said, no, God's used us. He said, no, I know what you mean, Pastor. You're just modest, but God. And I stopped him. I said, and Al's like that. He thinks I hung the moon. I have not hung the moon. But I was saying, Al, I understand what you're saying. And I appreciate the intent. I said, but I want you to know that if I was to believe what you said, that could destroy me. Because pride disqualifies a servant of God. The Bible says, and I just gave a little Bible study. I said, God says, Al, he will not share his glory with another. And about the time you start taking some of God's glory is when he just turns the faucet off and he'll let you see what you can do on your own. And by the way, he tells us in Scripture what we can do on our own. For without me, you can't do how much? So about the time we want to take a little bit of credit that all belongs to God, it's amazing how quick he can turn the faucet off. Go ahead and brag about your business being so successful and watch God just turn the faucet off. You remember Nebuchadnezzar was a great, great man, king of Babylon. And one day he stood out and said, is this not great Babylon which I have built by my power, for my glory, for my majesty? And while the words were in his mouth, God changed his heart into the heart of a wild beast. And for 7 years, he lived out in the woods like a wild animal until his nails became like claws and the hair on his back like feathers. I'm just saying, until he came to himself and realized it's the Lord God who raises up people and lowers people. If God's given you a voice, give him the glory. Don't go around, oh, I did good, didn't I? No, sir. God did good. He gave you the voice. Remember Moses said, well, God, I can't speak plain. And he said, who made man's mouth? What, do you think I don't know what you have? Who made that? God alone deserves the credit for anything that's good. Now, anything that messes up, we can go ahead and claim that, okay? But if there's anything good in us, it's because God put it there. I want to talk about humility and teach just a little bit on this subject. I'm going to use Brother Hoxie here in a minute. Brother Hoxie, would you come down here and stand down here just a minute? Okay, you won't need your pen. Put that away. Just stand right down there. Down on the floor. Come on, turn this way. What happens is, our good people love God. They come to church. They're blessed by the Lord. And then they get out in the world, as you know, and it beats you down. How many of you work in a factory? How many work in a factory? How many work in an office? How many work? I didn't see that many hands. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. I knew the budget was going way down. Nobody's working. No wonder. You get out there, and what's interesting, they're not playing Amazing Grace on the intercom, are they? No. By the way, even those who work here, you don't hear that. We don't have an intercom. So, they're not talking about the latest thing they found in the Scripture. You know, they're not. Now, you may have a Christian that comes by and talks with you, but I'm just saying, it's not a most Christ-like environment. So what happens? You get beaten down. And then you start crawling to church. You barely make your way. Crawl up here. All fours. Okay. And there he is. And now It's the pastor's job to take the Word of God and the Spirit of God and try to lift you up and say, you can make it, you can make it, you can make it. And that's usually my objective, is to try to encourage you and fill you with faith and get a B12 spiritual shot into you and take a one-a-day vitamin and say, you know, you can make it. Well, that's what I usually try to do. But here, get on all fours here again. But tonight, my job is to see how low you can go. See, my job's not to raise you up. Thank you very much. Let's give him a hand. My job tonight is to see how low you can go. Because the lower you can go, the greater God can use you. The lower you can go, the greater God can use you. The higher you are, the less He can use you. So when we humble ourselves in the eyes of the Lord then can lift us up. He can use us if we're humble. And so let's look at that. And before I even get into the message, I want to use two case studies. And I want us to look at this, and then I want to get into the points that I have on paper. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. Turn there, if you will. I want us to look at two case studies found in Scripture that illustrate this in a way that you'd never think. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And I'm going to read down through verse 29. I want you to just follow along as we read this. Let's see. That's not it. Let's go to 2 Kings. Well, here I went and wrote down the wrong verse by it. Wouldn't you know? The Lord wanted me to illustrate humility. So I'm doing that right now. No, let me find it real fast here. How I wrote the same verse there, I can't understand that. But let me just share with you. Since I memorized the whole passage anyway, let me just quote it to you. No, I'm kidding. I can't do that. The first case study is that of Ahab. And I'd have to look it up. Boy, I spent 15 minutes getting all this. The first case study is Ahab. The Bible says that Ahab was the most wicked person that ever was up to that point in his kingdom. And God spoke to him and gave judgment to him and said, because of what he's done to Naboth, and I was just reading that, because of what he's done to Naboth, oh, it's chapter 21, verse 18. I'm a little dyslexic. I must be, anyway. 1 Kings, chapter 21. That's what it is. It's not chapter 18, it's chapter 21, starting at verse 18. Now, let me read it now. Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and I will take away thy posterity. And it goes down, let me pick up here in verse 23. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat. Him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably, that's a good word, in following idols according to all things as he did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, see thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me. Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his day, but in his son's day will I bring the evil upon his house. Listen, folks, this was one of the most wicked men found in all of Scripture. And God judged him for his wickedness, but when the judgment came on him, the Bible says he humbled himself. He put himself in sackcloth and ashes, and he humbled himself, and he went softly in the presence of the Lord, and God saw the humility in the life of a wicked man and responded to it. Several years ago, I preached a series of sermons on what gets God's attention. And one of the things that gets God's attention over and over and over and over again in Scripture is always this. It's humility. Humility. Humility always gets God's attention. By the way, there was something else in that series. Arrogance. Pride always gets God's attention. One he lifts up, the other he puts down. Pride gets God's attention. But humility gets God's attention. Here's another one. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. By faith, let's turn there. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. I always like to have my sister here when I mess up, see. Teaches me humility, keeps me humble. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 9 through 18. No, 9 through 13. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captain of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem unto his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Let me just mention, one of the things that will always get God's attention is you humbling yourself. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what it is you're going to face. I don't know what it is you're facing or going to face, but I do know this. If you will humble yourself in the presence of God, He will hear you. He will hear you. I can show you over and over and over in Scripture how that principle is found all through Scripture. Just humble yourself. You know, as Americans, we have this idea that we can always figure it out. We can always figure it out. And when we get to the place where we, at the very last, we can't figure it out, it's, oh God, help! But if we would just humble ourselves and seek the Lord, God would over and over and over again help us. I shared this, I think, just a few months ago, how many years ago, I think it was maybe 5 years ago or something, we had just gone through, we're going through the spring of the year, and for whatever reason, we just had one of those months where the income just dropped. I mean, dropped about $15,000 below budget. And it's like, whoa! But interesting enough, usually those months that it drops like that, bills don't understand that. They go the other way. And so not only did the income drop about $15,000, the expenses went up about $15,000. Now you understand in a church like ours, sometimes what's done this month reflects next month. In other words, the projects you do this month may get billed out and actually paid out next month. And so it's just that process. But boy, everything added up that month and the offerings went down. And there was about a $30,000 difference. And that was back before we even had a savings mentality of any sort at all. So we're just operating on a thin margin. And I'm just telling you, it was do or die. It was rough. And I'm thinking at night, what are we going to do? And that next Monday morning, I got the staff together. I got the men together because we're always meeting every day. And we got them together and I said, fellas, we're going to pray. And we took our furniture in my office and we pushed it all against the wall. And there was like five or six of us there. And I said, I want us to stretch out on the carpet. I want us to lay down and I want us to pray. And we got on our face and we're laying down just like this. And we're praying. And all of us are around the office just getting on our face before God. And we're just praying. And we did that on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Back then we didn't have Fridays off. And we just kept doing that. And we did it that week. And then we did it the next week. And then we did it the next week. And that month. And that's all we did. Is we just humbled ourselves in the presence of the Lord. And the difference between the offering that month, when everything was so bad, and the next month was $75,000. It jumped up from below. It jumped up $75,000 above. Now, it hasn't done that since then, but, you know, it did it then. But the only thing we did is we just humbled ourselves and just begged God. You know, I don't know what your difficulty will be in life, but I do know this. If you'll get on your face before God, He'll hear you. There's something about humility that gets God's attention. There's something about us humbling ourselves that gains the empathy of God. You ever seen someone that just needed help? I don't mean they were beggars. They weren't begging. They weren't asking. But you just sensed they needed help. And you just couldn't help but get around them. But what you said, I got to do something. I got to help. I got to try something. They weren't begging for help. They weren't asking for help. You just sensed it. They need help. And you just wanted to help. And there's something about God that sees the humility in our lives when we humble ourselves in His presence and we acknowledge what we are not and we acknowledge what we are, that He comes to the rescue. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Those two case studies, two wicked people, Ahab, Manasseh, two of the most wicked kings ever mentioned in the kings of Judah, and yet they humbled themselves and God lifted them up. Kings of Israel, Ahab was. Let me share this. Psalms 113 verse 6, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. Proverbs 22 verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Isaiah 57 verse 15, for thus saith the high and holy one that inhabiteth the eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That's an amazing statement right there. Biblical humility comes when we see ourselves properly. Biblical humility comes when we see ourselves properly. First of all, we see ourselves as totally undone in the eyes of a holy God. Totally undone. For instance, Brother Vessel, stand up here. Brother Hoxie, stand up here, if you will. When we compare ourselves to each other, I compare myself, Brother Vessel, way better. Okay. Brother Hoxie, hey, I'm still better. I'm just being humble. But I'm just saying. When we compare ourselves to other people, first of all, we always pick and choose who we compare ourselves with. And I guarantee you, you can look good as long as you get to pick who you compare yourself with. But we do not compare ourselves among ourselves. The Bible tells us that's not wise. We stand before a holy God. And I don't care if you're the best Christian in this room. I don't care if you read the Bible for 2 hours this morning and prayed for another hour. I don't care if you give 50% of your income to the Lord. Well, I might care. I just want to shake your hand. But I don't care, because that gets you nowhere. If you stand before a holy God, I don't care how good you look compared to the rest of us, you don't look good compared to God. You do not look good compared to a sinless, holy God, and we have sin in our life, and no matter how good a Christian we are, we do not look good in the eyes of a holy God. So biblical humility is, first of all, acknowledging who we are in God's presence. We're nothing. Thank you, fellas. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 18, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's a general description of mankind, of which all of us are participants. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When we see God and who He is, we see ourselves, and it's not pretty. So true biblical humility is not, oh, it's not me, it's not me. No, it's really not me. It's really not me. I thought it was you. No, if you knew me like God knows me, you'd know it's not me. And by the way, it's not you either. It's all God. It's all God. If God's used you to raise some good kids, you better give Him all the glory. You better give Him all the glory. Because quite frankly, there's been better parents than you whose kids didn't turn out. Better kids than you. You better just thank God that He's been good to you. If your marriage has lasted, and you're in your 20 and 30 and 40 and 50, as Dr. Clark's 64th year of your marriage, you better give all that credit to God, not to yourself. Because, quite frankly, there have been better women, wives, than you, who lost their husband, lost their marriage. And fellows, there's been far better men than we are, whose wife was not as patient as our wives are, and stuck with us. Amen? I'm just saying, we better just thank God for what He has blessed us, and don't start taking glory for something that doesn't belong to us. Sometimes if God's blessed you financially, it's so easy to say, well, you know, I've learned a little how to handle finances. Could I share with you that people on Wall Street were one day jumping out of windows? And they made all the right choices, but circumstances beyond their control wiped them out. Back in 2006, one of the top 10 wealthiest people of the world was worth $20 billion. After 2007, he was worth nothing. How do you go from $20 billion to nothing? By the way, end of 2007, he also took his life. He had $20 billion in assets in 2006. He had nothing in 2007. He took his life. You say, boy, I made some wise decision. One event can turn it all around. It's God who orchestrates our life. Let's just give Him all the credit. Biblical humility comes when we see ourselves properly as totally undone in the eyes of a holy God. Secondly, as totally bankrupt without God's help. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing. That's us. That's what I can do. So Al, next time you brag, that's what I can do. I can do nothing. I know how to beg God. I don't know how to get the blessing. But I know how to beg Him. I know how to pray. I said, Al, I can't bring it. But I can get here on Saturday night, late at night, and walk around this place and pray. And cry. Sing. I'm so glad no one else is here because it's terrible. But I sing. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. And baptize everyone. Or I'll sing, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. I don't know if it helps anyone. I walk through here and I'll pray on this pew and I'll pray, Lord, please speak with the people that sit in this pew. And Lord, please touch the people who sit in this pew. Do something in their heart. Mauricio needs it so bad. Please help him. And then I go through here and there's 78 pews and I'll pray over every one of them. And then I'll go through the choir and I'll pray and I'll go through the orchestra and I'll lay flat on my face here and pray and I'll walk around the aisles and I'll pray. I can't do much, but I know someone who can. And the sooner you get to the place where you realize what you are, you can do nothing without God, then it urges you and it prompts you to seek His face because He can do everything we cannot do. Everything. He can help your bus route. He can help your Sunday school. He can help you. The other day, Ryan Berry was asking us, Brother Berry, where's Brother Berry? He's in Patch. Good. So I can talk about him. Good. He came to me and said, Pastor, I'm starting this new adult Sunday school class for young adults. What can I do? What do I need to do? I'm knocking on doors. I'm trying to visit. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. And I said, Brother Barry, let me just say this. If you don't have the power of God on your life, nothing will matter. Nothing you do will make sense. Nothing will prevail. The best thing you can do is take some of that time that you're knocking on doors, get in your prayer closet, and you pray till you get a hold of God. When you get God's blessing on your life, He'll tell you what to do. He'll show you what to do. He will bless what you think can't be blessed. He will help you. And folks, that's how you raise kids, and that's how you have a marriage, and that's how you have a business, and that's how you run your finances. You get a hold of God and say, God, I cannot do it without you. I have to have your help. And you seek His face till the answer comes. That's the key. Biblical humility sees yourself as being totally undone and bankrupt without God's help. Secondly, biblical humility comes when you see God properly. So first of all, we see ourselves for who we are. That's not a pretty sight. But then we see God for who He is. What a beautiful sight that is. We get to see God for who He is. The Bible tells us when we see Him as a holy God. Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one having six wings. And with twain He covered His face, and with twain He did cover His feet, and with twain He did fly. When I was a kid, I always read that as twine. And I thought He's hanging by string, you know, and just tied up. I couldn't figure out what it was talking about. Twain means two. And one cried to the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Holy, holy, holy. When we see God for who He is, He's holy and He's lifted up and He's exalted. That's our God. We see ourselves. That's not much. We see Him. That's beautiful. When we see Him as a powerful God. Powerful God. You say, Pastor, I'm facing a hopeless situation. Hopeless for you, not hopeless for Him. Jesus said to His own disciples, He said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. I love that little chorus we sing. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. I had a theologian say to me, well, God can't do anything. I said, He can't. He said, well, God can't sin. I said, He could if He wanted to. He just don't want to. God can't make a round circle. Yes, He can. He's God. He can make round circles all day long. What do you mean? He's God. He can do anything. He spoke everything into existence without nothing to start with. He can do anything He wants to. And Jesus said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So I'm just saying, if I have to choose between a theologian and God, I'm going with God. Amen? The Bible says in Revelation 19, 15 and 16, and out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh written, King of kings and Lord of lords. King of kings and Lord of lords. Someone said, if a very important man, like a president, came into a room where you were, out of respect, we'd all stand. But if Jesus came in the room, we'd all bow. We'd all bow. There's a story told of a famous sculpture of Jesus that was on display in one of the churches over in Europe. And this man was a tourist, and he went through the town, and he heard about the sculpture, and he thought, well, he's already in the area, and he's a tourist, and he's going around. He'd like to look at it. So he comes in the church where they have the sculpture of Christ displayed. And so he looks at it, and he examines it, and studies it for just a little while, and he says, well, it's nice. And he's going out, and he says to the janitor there, he says, you know, I'd heard about the sculpture, and you know, it's nice. He said, but quite frankly, from what I heard about it, I just thought it'd be more impressive. I mean, it's a nice sculpture, but It's nothing special. And the janitor said, well, sir, it has to do with the perspective. And he said, what do you mean? He said, well, as you approach the sculpture, he said, the key is you have to get lower and you have to get closer. He says, okay. So he, he got down, he's looking up, and still nothing special. And the janitor says, no, sir, lower and closer. So he gets closer and he gets lower. He said, I still don't see anything. And then he said, well, you just have to get a little lower and a little closer. So he got a little closer and a little lower. And when he got real low and close, he looked up. And then he saw it. The eyes of Jesus were looking right at you. And what was so powerful about this sculpture is when you got close enough and low enough, his eyes were looking right at you. And the real secret of the Christian life is getting lower and closer and lower and closer. And if we'll lower ourselves and get close enough, God will do a great work in our life. God will do something special if we just get lower and we'll get closer. Humility. God always responds to humility. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let God speak to your heart. I don't think I'm speaking to a single person in this auditorium that's proud. I don't believe that at all. I know you folks. You're not proud people. But I know that the temptation of our flesh is to take a little something that belongs to God. Take a little credit that belongs to God. And that's the temptation of our flesh. Our temptation is that we can work it out. We can solve it. We can make it work. We can do it. When the reality is we cannot without His help. Are you willing to get lower and closer? Lower and closer.